So let us look at the word that God has given us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 to 13. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 to 13. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when the disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. God is the God of revelation. Through signs and wonders, he reveals his existence. And so he reveals his existence and his works. And through prophecies, he reveals his schedule. So he reveals his schedule through prophecies, signs and prophecies. And so God has used many methods to reveal himself. And through all the prophecies that he has spoken, he reveals his schedule. And in 1 Kings, it says, so there was a prophecy that an altar will be brought down, and it was fulfilled according to the prophecy. And so say amen if you believe that. And so whether it is signs or wonders or prophecies, we believe by seeing all that he has revealed to us. Because if we don't believe, then our faith is not true. So why did God record so many why did God record so many things in the Bible that are very difficult to believe? It's because in the world, the people may not believe it, but by faith, we believe it. And through, so God's, according to God's schedule, everything is being fulfilled according to his schedule. And in the word that we read, Jesus said that now the end is the wars and rumors of wars. We will hear it. And now the end times is coming. So right now we have, there's the event of climate change happening all over the world. And so all around the world is, everyone is suffering from climate change. And people are saying right now that it is becoming more and more difficult for us to live on Earth any longer. And so people are saying if something is not just drastically changed in the world, then it is as if we are, we might as well commit mass suicide because the Earth is becoming more and more difficult to live in. But in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, in Jeremiah chapter 2, it says, this is what the Lord says, "Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by the signs in the heavens, though the nations are terrified by them." So the people of the world are terrified by the signs in the heavens, but it says, do not learn their ways or be terrified. So the people in the world, the Bible says, the Bible says the people of the world are fearful, terrified of the ways of the nations, but the Bible tells us to do not be afraid. So when we look in the media everywhere, in the, on YouTube or the news, the this issue of climate change is very severe. To what extent is that the weather these days, it has been really very hot. And the reason why the weather has been even hotter, the reason why the weather has been so bad is because it is because of the reason for this climate change and this irregular weather is because of carbon being produced, constantly being produced through our factories and through all of our productions. And there are droughts everywhere and the icebergs are melting. And so in the north and South Pole regions, the ice is melting at a rapid speed. And so they say that if the water level rises even to 1.1 meter, then they say that New York, all of New York will be submerged. And all the cities that are around the harbor, they will become submerged. And so you might become panicked and think, is it going to affect where I live? And so these people who are researching and who are following after this, they don't think that it's very far away, but it's coming very close. And so when I heard of these, I became very worried about the state of our church. And we are also going through severe drought worldwide. Worldwide, everyone is suffering from drought. And there have been droughts in the past in places of Africa and in certain regions. But right now, it's not just certain places, but it is happening worldwide. And there is almost no place that is not suffering from droughts. And so floods are being dried out. And so in Germany, there is a river. And so there is a river in Germany that people use this as a very important harbor in order to move supplies. But now, because boats and ships cannot use that river or the harbor anymore, there's a lot of issues coming. And even shipwrecks that happened in the during World War II are coming up because the rivers are drying out. And also NASA has announced that this issue of drought is so severe in the whole world that it is so severe worldwide that the well waters are drying out. It is not just waters that we can see that are visible, but even waters underground are drying up. And so we are lacking so much water that And so there is the Hoover Dam, the greatest dam in the United States. They're saying on the southern side, they receive water relying on the Hoover Dam, but there is such a severe drought that the water is not being dispersed well. And people, there are announcements made in several areas telling them to take very short showers and also do not water your lawn. And so there are some people whose lawns have dried up so bad that people are actually even painting their lawns because they're all dried up and dead. And so a lot of Americans have pride in their lawn because there's not many places in the world whose lawns are covered with lawn. Even in Europe, so many homes do not have lawns, but in America there are so many properties that have that are covered with luscious lawn, and the amount of water that is needed to water them is more than the amount of water that you would need to fill up a pool. And so right now, no one is allowed to water their lawns well. And so in each country, watering for their crops is not being processed very well either. And so In each country, they are limiting and even stopping any exports. And so even in America, it's America, the United States is one of the greatest countries that sends out exports. But even in America, they are seizing the exports. And so in regards to into food supply and rations, worldwide, all the nations are suffering. And in Korea, they are they have exported a lot of wheat, maybe to make ramen noodles or flour and or crackers and this and that. But in the past, we used to eat rice or rice cakes only on special occasions. But now these days, we eat them almost at every meal. But now that all the nations are stopping their imports and exports, it is all due to these climate changes and this issue of climate and drought. And so our church, we are kind of neglecting these issues, because especially during time of dedication, when I go down to the meetings, we have an abundance of food, and so we don't need to eat that much. And these problems worldwide, it is not going to end soon, but it is going to become worse and worse, because Jesus said that this is only the beginning of the signs of end times. And so it will go from bad to worse. And so when God created all things, he first created what? In the beginning, it is so important to see what God created first. In the very beginning, in creation, he created light. And so Jesus said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light and the darkness, and he called the light day. And so God separated the day through light. And so God, he separated lights from one another, a big light, a great light, like the moon and the stars and the sun. And so in the beginning, when God created the light and he separated the lights, there was, in verse 14, it said, God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day and the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years." So I didn't notice this before, but I always thought it said the lights will serve as signs to mark sacred times. I want to focus on this today in Luke. And so God, in Luke, it says there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and God will use them to serve as signs. And so when God created the light and said, "Let there be light," it was the beginning of the natural revelation. But in John chapter 1, verse 3, it also says, God said, "Let there be light." In the beginning, the light in Genesis 1 is the beginning of natural revelation. And in John chapter 1, the light that is referred to is referring to the beginning of special revelation. And so these are not written as a coincidence, but it's very fearful how God is very exact in how he recorded all these things. And so when the Israelites were living as slaves for 430 years, God sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And so because Pharaoh did not let them go multiple times, whenever Moses said, let God's people go, the Pharaoh did not listen, and God poured on them the 10 plagues. And what is the plague? What is the plague that fell on them that was really to light? It was the plague of darkness. For days, complete darkness covered over Egypt. And so when we have an outage and it becomes dark, we understand, but if there is even a hint of light where you might be able to kind of feel things around, it would be different. But during that time of the plague of darkness, it was complete pitch darkness. And so God said, Jehovah commands, let the people go. But because Pharaoh did not, God poured on them this plague. And not only that, our God, the creator God, when he commands, he has shown us through his revelation that we must obey. And so when God led the Israelites out in Exodus, it says God showed it as a sign when he completely covered Egypt with darkness. But it also says when God led the Israelites out of Egypt, God led them through the pillar of fire. And so the Israelites followed the pillar of fire. And when the Israelites were still going, were leaving Egypt, the soldiers of Egypt were chasing after them, but God stopped them through the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds. And even in the desert, the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds led the Israelites in the desert. And so even though God was very specifically leading the Israelites did not think of this or remember this, but they said, let us return to Egypt when times were difficult. And so many people rose up against God, and so many were put to death in the desert, and many fell face down to their death in the desert. And so as God continued in his signs and wonders, God led the Israelites out of Egypt and throughout the desert. But because the Israelites did not remember this, they fell into slavery once again and in destruction. And so there was the temple. The temple had the function of remembrance. Remembering what? The temple had the function of helping the Israelites to remember that through signs and wonders that God has, that Jehovah has led them out. And signs and wonders also equal the end times. And so a sign, a signature is not the real thing, but it is not the real person, but it has the same representation. It has the meaning of representing the real thing. And so the temple has the function of reminding the Israelites that through signs and wonders that Jehovah has led them out. And so that Jehovah is living even to this day, and he still works to this day. And so it says that in the Bible, it says that even to this day, Jehovah leads us through signs and wonders. And so God planted this into the minds of the Israelites. And if the Israelites truly had the right faith and believed in this, when they faced a difficulty, even at before the face of death, if they remember this, then their life was saved. There was a king, Hezekiah, and he became ill, and a prophet told him that you are going to die soon, and the prophet told him to prepare. But King Hezekiah, he cried out and saying, please remember, please have mercy on me, please remember me and remember the ways that I have served you. And so this king cried to the Lord. And so when God heard this, God spoke to the prophet that I will save him, and after 4 days you will live, and you will return to the temple and serve me once again. And so Hezekiah king, he said, I feel like I'm so ill that I'm going to die right now, but how am I supposed to return to the temple in 4 days? And he said, please show me a sign. So God showed what kind of sign that he will be healed. It is the shadow of the sun. So through the shadow of the sun, through the shades, they used to tell time following the shadow of the sun, but as a sign that Hezekiah will live, the prophet said that I will move the shadow of the sun 10 degrees. And Hezekiah said, how can I truly know that you will give me this sign? And Hezekiah asked, please move the shade of the sun 10 degrees backwards. And so God gave this sign to the king. And so when he received this sign, he believed and he lived 10 more years. So his life was extended for 10 years. And so God even shows those with faith signs. And so when Hezekiah, when he saw the sign and believed, his life was extended 10 more years. And so if you come to face death, when you're at the brink of dying, maybe ask God and ask him to remember how I have served you, and please show me a sign that you will save me. So we could try that. And so as the history of the Israelites continued, there were no longer people like Hezekiah, people of faith. And so the people of Israelites, they thought the things, those signs and miracles that God used to do, it only happened in the past. And so they started to live in very corrupted ways. And so the Israelites, they lost their sovereignty and they lost their hope. And they felt as if God had turned his face away from them. And so the Israelites, they lost their authority, and the people of Israelites were dispersed. And only a few Israelites were left to be able to live nearby the Temple of Jerusalem. And they were given a prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And let's read again. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So the Lord, God, he will truly think of us and he will give us a sign, a very sure sign. And the sign will be that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. So can a virgin conceive? Can a virgin conceive on her own? What is the probability? It is absolutely none. But God said he will show them this as a sign. He will give them this as a sign. A sign, this is something that is impossible. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. What kind of sign will this be? This will be a sign that he is with us, that God is with us, that God will be with us. So the God who created all things, our great God without limits, he will come like man and he will be with us. And so we will know that he is with us through the sign that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. So this is a miracle. This is a sign. So in some churches, people say, don't seek signs, don't seek miracles and wonders. But the beginning of our faith started through a sign, our Jesus Christ coming, the Word becoming flesh, God becoming flesh, God coming as a man. That is a sign. But that is also a sign that it is a sign that God will be with us mankind. It is amazing. But after several hundred years, of this prophecy, there were magi who came. So in the past, because there was no navigation, in order to realize where they were going, they followed after stars and used the stars for their navigation. But the magi came to King Herod and said, where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And so the king of Jerusalem is to come from Bethlehem. And they said, they said they have come to worship the King of Jerusalem. And so when they followed after the stars, they saw that a child was born in a manger, and it was our Jesus Christ, God who came as flesh, and the Word who came as flesh. It is God who came like a man, who became a man and came to this earth. It is our Jesus Christ. And so the Magi, they saw the light of the star and saw the star moving, and they realized this is a sign. So there is a saying in Korean that there is a very good omen or very good sign. And so when they saw the star rising, they were very ecstatic because they realized finally the Emmanuel God has come. And so they were very joyful when they saw the star. And Jesus Christ, he grew and he started his public life. And the way people saw him when he started his public life, it says the Bible does not record of how he looked or his appearance, but even though it doesn't record of the appearance of Jesus, it records of what Jesus had done, which was from beginning, from the start of the day to the end of the day, he did signs and miracles. He healed the sick. And he raised the ill. And who is he? He is the one who created all things through his word. And he created the light. He is the one who created the light to use it as signs. And so our Jesus Christ, he is the one who created all things. And so Jesus, he started his public life to reveal that he has come to show through his signs. And Jesus, he came before the temple and he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. What is in the temple? The temple had the name of Jehovah. And Jehovah, the name of Jehovah, the Israelites knew it as the name of the Creator. And with what kind of sign could they believe that Jehovah is the Lord of all creation? Through the signs and through wonders, because the signs and wonders, it continued, they were able to believe. And so they call this the secrets of nature. We see the secrets of nature could be regarding the stars or the water or rain. But when Jesus said destroy this temple, he was referring to the end of the era where people could only know about God through the secrets of heaven, through the secrets of nature. But now, through signs and wonders, the one has come who reveal himself through signs and wonders. It is our Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of, he is the Savior. So we cannot be saved just by believing in creationism. When we look at in John chapter 10, it says eternal life. This is eternal life to believe. So it says that eternal life is to believe in the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And so eternal life is the Lord of creation and the Son whom he has sent. So we have to, eternal life is believing that they are one. So when Jesus said destroy this temple, the era when he said destroy this temple, he was referring that the era when people could know about God through signs and wonders of this earth, that era is now over. But now Jesus has come. He has come as a Savior. And we could believe that the death of Jesus Christ, say amen, if you believe that the death of Jesus Christ has given me forgiveness of my sins, how can we believe this? With what kind of sign has he showed us? You could say we could look at the appearance of Jesus, because Jesus said, come to me all who are burdened and weary. And so people say, we know that he will save us because he is such a good man, but that is not how we know. The sign the sign that we know that Jesus is our Savior is through the prophecy that through the sign that the virgin conceived and bore a son. So according, just as he spoke, we can believe that he is the Savior by believing in the sign that he has come and he has died in place of us. And the fact that he resurrected. So if we don't believe in this, it's there's no use of coming to church. No matter what, how much we serve or do this and that work, it's no use if we don't have this faith that Jesus Christ. So through the public life of Jesus, and what he did, he showed us signs that he will resurrect again. So all day he healed the sick and he even raised the dead. And so when the Pharisees saw the works that Jesus did, they didn't believe in the signs that Jesus did, but they only looked for ways to capture and arrest Jesus, seeing that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus, he knew that what they wanted from him, but he continued to do his work. And this is what Jesus said to them. So when Jesus appeared, wherever Jesus appeared, the Pharisees crowded around him and they said, "We want to see a sign." Because they know that the roots of their ancestors is signs and wonders. Because the people of the world, they cannot believe creation and the fact that God created all things. It is a sign to them. And so the hot topic that people always spoke about, it wasn't about celebrities, what happened to certain celebrities, but the hot topic of the talk of the Israelites was always signs and wonders, and a person who would show us signs and wonders. And so in Matthew chapter 16, verse 1-8, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret this appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." So I said before, the Pharisees, the main focus of the Pharisees was, are there signs or not? And so Jesus, he did not think to show them signs, because even though they saw so many signs, they still had no interest in Jesus Christ, and they couldn't match Jesus Christ and God, and so all signs were useless to them. And so Jesus said, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." And so there are signs that are given in the sky, whether it is the moving of the stars. So when it says, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky," it is referring to even looking at the stars to interpret certain things. But Jesus says, "You cannot interpret the signs of the times." So here it is speaking of the signs of the times and the appearance of the sky. And so Jesus, he stressed the signs of the times. And when we think about what is the sign that he is giving us to the times currently, it is there's nothing but the sign of Jonah. So the Israelites, the Pharisees, they believed in everything that happened, because if they didn't, then they would not be Israelites, but they couldn't believe the fact that Jesus died and resurrected. So the temple had the function to remind them that our creator God is continuing to work through signs and wonders. But now Jesus, who is the Son of God, has come. He has come and he reveals through signs and wonders, but the Pharisees, they couldn't relate Jesus with God. And so Jesus said, no matter what kind of sign I show you, you will not believe. So Jesus, he went away. And so as Jesus was nearing the end of his public life, he gave a prophecy. His disciples asked Jesus, isn't this temple so great? It has been made so wonderfully. And so they were very moved by this temple. And so these disciples, they didn't really know, they didn't realize who Jesus was. And so they told Jesus, look at this temple, isn't it so great? But Jesus said, not a single stone will be left on this temple, and this temple will be destroyed. And so his disciples asked Jesus, what kind of signs will be given to show us that the end of time is near. So they asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so Jesus answered them. We read before in the beginning, let us look back at Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. So Jesus said, wars and rumors of wars will continue, but such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And so it says, nations will rise against each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes. It is like the perfect storm. So there is the rising of nations, and there are famines, earthquakes. So when these things all come together, that will be the sign of the end of age. So when all these things comes, it will be the beginning of birth pains. So when all these things come, that is not the end, but these are the beginning of birth pains. And so when you start really feeling this, then you will realize that that the end has already started. So Jesus said, if there are famines and earthquakes and rising of nations against one another, the destruction, the signs of the end times has already started, and only those who stand firm to the end will be saved. And so Jesus gave this prophecy, and so when they saw Jesus and realized that he is not becoming of he's not of much help in raising the nation of Jerusalem once again, they decided to have him arrested. And as Jesus died, he said, it is finished, and he finished the work of the schedule of the Son of Man. And so he finished all the work that he came to do as a Son of Man, and by completing, he gave glory to the Father, and he condemned the devil. And through his death, he atoned for the sins of all mankind. And through the blood that he shed, to all the souls who received his blood, he gave the right to become children of God. So children of God. And he allowed all mankind who received his blood to become the children of God. And he gave them the hope of eternal life. And he has given them the opportunity to have eternal life. And for that, he died. And after 3 days of his death, he resurrected. And now he ascended, and he sits on the throne in heaven. And the fact that he sits on the throne means that even though he died, he died with our sins. Even though he died with suffering, he rose again. He rose again with glory. And so suffering and glory, because he received suffering to the greatest extent, he receives glory to the greatest extent. And so there is an expression saying to the fullest extent, but he received glory to the fullest extent because he suffered to the fullest extent. And so he sends, to this day, he sends the Holy Spirit to those who believe. And the Holy Spirit comes to remind us. And what does he remind us of? He reminds us that Jesus Christ will return soon. That now the end of times is coming near. Now his schedule is almost fulfilled. And so so that we can receive the Holy Spirit, God gave us a sign. How do we know that we have received the Holy Spirit? What is the sign? It is the gift of tongues. So some people say, oh, they are crazy. But before the Holy Spirit, there was nobody who could speak in tongues. But after the Holy Spirit came, people were able to speak in tongues. And by it, we can see that the Holy Spirit has come into us. And so say, I have the sign that shows that the Holy Spirit has come to me. So what that means is that the return of Jesus Christ is coming. So let us pray in tongues. So almost everybody can pray in tongues. So why can we speak in tongues? It is because it is to remind us even to this day that the Holy Spirit works even to this day. He reminds us that of today that our Lord Jesus Christ will return soon. That it reminds us that he will return soon. It is a sign to show us and remind us. And so the return of Jesus Christ and the signs of the end times, we need to look a little closer. The prophets asked, so the disciples of Jesus asked him, what will be the signs, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so there will be signs that show the end of times, the end times. But the way we can see and realize is through the signs and appearance of the sky. Through the signs of end times. So all things right now, they are moving according to the cycles. The fact that everything is going as should be, it falls exactly according to the signs of end times. Even climate change, severity of climate change, we have to realize that this is a sign of end times. So this climate change, this issue of climate change is the greatest topic of the U.S. So Simon, if this is one of the greatest issues that is on your mind. So if we know the Bible and if we really think, then we have to realize that God's schedule is almost coming to an end, and the return of Jesus is coming nearer and nearer. We have to realize how the world is running right now, and we have to give interest to what's happening in the world. So I watch the news day to day, and I compare it to what the Bible says. So because of the production of carbon, the excess production of carbon all throughout the world, everyone is facing the wrath of it, and so people are trying to come up with creating clean energy or converting carbon into energy or clean air. And so they are saying they will be able to resolve of this at least by 2030. And so they're calling it the Great Reset. And they are trying to stop this destruction of the earth, and all nations are coming together to research and work on this. And so if that nation is not taking part, then that nation doesn't have the right to exist. And so all the nations who have the same mind, they are coming together to work on this. And so many nations are trying to sign up for this committee, trying to come up with the ways to reserve Earth. So raise your hand if you think that the destruction of Earth is not because of carbon production. So if you have no interest, then that's not good. But you have to have interest in what's going on. Because the Pharisees existed because they always went against God and against what God, what Jesus said. And so they existed to reveal even more what Jesus said. So right now, we have to have more interest in what is going on around us. We shouldn't have interest about how much money I have left in my bank account, but we need to pay attention to what is going around us in the world. Because all the scientists are saying that the Earth is coming to an end. The scientists in NASA, they are also, all the scientists are saying the end of the world is coming, and they are researching countless hours, and NASA, space research center, they sent a machine to research on the moon, and they say that it finally arrived in 2021. So through these machines that they sent to the sun, they are realizing that the sun has a lot of is producing a lot of solar flares, and due to the excessive solar flares, it is disrupting certain areas of the Earth. And there is a way that God created the Earth, but the Earth has a natural tilt, and so the Earth has a slight tilt, and if it didn't, then we wouldn't have the North or South Pole. But because the Earth has the slight tilt, as it spins, as it rotates, everything is as it should be. But now it's saying that the natural tilt that the Earth has, it is becoming disrupted because of the solar flares. And because that is being disrupted, the Earth, because of that, on the in the North and South Poles, everything is becoming disrupted. And so because everything is becoming disrupted, the ice is melting. And because the ice is melting, tsunamis are happening. The tsunamis form due to the plates under the oceans, the movement of the plates. When the plates collide with one another, the tsunamis form. And in Luke chapter 21, it speaks of it. In verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Again, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. So it says there will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars, that there will be signs. And I spoke about how in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it said it spoke about lights in the vault of the sky to separate and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times. And so in Luke, it says that nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And so I said that tsunamis come because the tectonic plates, they clash into one another. And so recently, not too long ago, there was a tsunami that completely covered over Indonesia. And back then, hundreds and thousands died due to the tsunami. But the Bible says that that the anguish and perplexity will come at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And so even NASA, NASA is saying that the scientists are saying that the destruction of Earth is not due to excess production of carbon, but it is because of the solar flares of the sun. Earth will not be destroyed. The Earth will not change because of some production of man-made things, but it is because it is written as these are the signs of the end times. These are the signs that show us that the coming of the Lord is near. It is the signs of the end times. So if we truly believe this, then when we see the sky, the appearance of the sky, we will see all of them as the signs of end times. Our Lord Jesus Christ will return soon. We will see them as a sign that he is coming. So I am it is very fearful for me. So in America, the floods are drying up and the fishes are dying. And so when I hear these things, when I see these things, I am fearful because it shows that the Lord is coming. And I'm not sure if we will still be alive when he returns. But until then, someone at the UN has said we might as well all commit mass suicide because something like this has never happened before. For us, we've never experienced a severe disaster. We've maybe fasted for a few days, but we've never experienced it before. We've never experienced not being able to drink water at all. In the news of the world, on the news, they say there will probably be wars because of water. So Jesus said, we read before, do not worry about what you see, about the appearance in the sky, but know that the end of time is near, that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming. So then if he is returning soon, how shall we read? No matter what difficulty, what hardship comes, we must not fear of those hardships, but we need to endure and overcome. So it is the law natural law that if there is day, the night will come, and if there is suffering, then glory will come. If I am facing suffering in my life, please raise your hand. If you think that your life, you're suffering through hardships right now in your life, raise your hand. Because the fact of life is suffering. Every day we worry. Every day we worry about paying our bills. All of these are worries to our life. But if things turn for worse, then how can we survive? How can we endure it? We need to realize that hardships are blessings. Hardships are a chance for us to receive blessings. When he left his home, he faced sufferings, and all his bad friends, they all left him, and he used up all his money, and now he was about to starve to death, and so he faced suffering. But the reason why the prodigal son, he realized that he needs to return back home was that his hardship was a blessing to him. If he did not have the days of suffering, he would have never returned to the father's house. He would have probably continued his corrupted life and died eventually. But for him, because he had the experience of hardship, he realized I need to return to the father's house. If I am not realizing that I am going through hardships right now, then we might as well pray to God and ask him to give us hardship so that we can return to the father. And so I pray for my daughter as well, because if we don't return to him, then what if we go to hell? When the Lord returns, he will only take those who have endured hardship, and he will repay us with his glory. And those who he does not take, we will be left behind here to this place that will turn into the fire of hell. And so the Bible tells us, when we look at all of the things that are happening around us, we need to realize that the end time is coming and the return of, and his return is coming. And when he returns, I will be lifted up into the air. We need to live with this faith. And so God does not give us trials more than we can handle. And he provides us a way out. So there is no trial that we cannot handle, that we cannot face. And there are no hardships that we cannot endure. And so when we try to endure them, God will give us the strength to be able to endure it, and he will eventually take us to where he is. And we need to make effort to gather. As the times are nearing, we need to make effort, more effort to gather more and more. So out in the world, there is no one who realizes what kind of state we are in right now. But the more that the closer the end times are nearing, we need to gather together. Even though we are facing through, even though we are enduring hardships and difficulties right now, we have to encourage one another and say, let us keep on going until the Lord returns. So that is why the church exists, in order for us to gather together and to encourage one another. And so we have to gather together and pray for this. The closer and closer the end times are nearing, we need to pray together, we need to gather together and gain strength. And so that on the day the Lord returns, we need to realize the appearance of the sky, and we need to realize the end of times. And we have to be those who are taken up, because we realized what kind of times we are living in, and we prepared for it. So they say the moon is a witness of the skies. And so God uses the sun, the moon, the stars as his witnesses, and even the moon is a witness of the universe, of the heavens. So NASA, the scientists in NASA, they say the moon is gearing away from the sun about 3.4. The moon is inching away from the earth, and so if the moon falls away from the earth, then everything will collapse. And so the moon is very important. We don't just look at the moon and say, oh, the moon is bright, but all things, the living things in the water and the water level, everything exists. The moon and the stars, they all have to exist, but they are all testifying that the end is coming. And so even the moon is testifying that the end is coming. And if I know our Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that the Lord is returning, even though people may point their fingers at me and saying that I am out of my mind, I have to be a witness of Jesus. And so let us be true witnesses of Jesus, so that we can be taken up into the air when he returns.